Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program, the program where we tell it like it is, where we expose the lies of the liberal, progressive, woke left, where we expose the hype, the hypocrisy, and the double standard of the Democratic political party in the United States of America, the joke that it is. It is a Monday. It's a traveling Monday, August 29th, 2022. And because the liberal, leftist, progressive, woke media had nothing better to do 17 years ago today, they made up what I call the lie of Louisiana. They claim that Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, Louisiana. Anyone, not just professional meteorologists, not just climatologists and experts with the National Hurricane Center, anyone with a pair of eyes can look at the track, the path of Hurricane Katrina, and the devastating photographs of the real Hurricane Katrina damage, and know without a doubt, Hurricane Katrina did not damage New Orleans, Louisiana. 17 years ago today, on August 29th, Hurricane Katrina in 2005 went ashore near Biloxi and Gulfport, Mississippi, an entire state away. It pushed casino boats, large, multi-storied vessels, half a mile or more inland. It wiped out entire buildings, hotels, condominiums, businesses, shopping malls with heavy hurricane force winds. Meanwhile, 17 years ago today, on August 29th, 2005, the poorly maintained, very much mismanaged levees that surround the crappy city of New Orleans failed because for 50, 60 years, money that was supposed to be allocated to those levee districts by the federal government, by the state government, by local millages, property taxes, fees, and surcharges, instead of maintaining those levees, instead of building them up, fortifying them, strengthening them, hardening them, making them more levee-like, those elected and politically appointed governing bodies of the levees. Yes, the levees have their own governing bodies. The New Orleans Levee Board, or Orleans Levee Board as they call it, the East Jefferson Levee District, the West Jefferson Parish Levee District. All of these entities, these public entities that take tax dollars, not hundreds, not thousands, not tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands, but millions upon millions of dollars each year. Those government entities decided instead of spending the money to fix the levees, to build them higher and wider and stronger and taller, they decided what we need to do is appoint some relative of ours who is a slug, who is an out of work this or a former cop, and we'll appoint them as the levee board police chief. Then they hired other relatives and cousins and kin and neighbors and friends and in-laws, and they gave them all brand new cars that they got about every couple of years, brand new cars. After all, they're a police force. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been assaulted by a levee? Of course not. Are the levees in New Orleans in the city limits, in the municipality? Of course they are. Why do you need a special police force for the levees? To keep young teenagers from parking and necking and making little babies behind the levees? Couldn't the New Orleans Police Department just as easily drove their police vehicles on tops of the levees and shined flashlights down to make sure people weren't fornicating on the water side of the levee. Yes, you have the dry side in the city and the water side, you know, the side of the levee next to the water. I like to use the term levee because otherwise I'd have to use the proper term dike. And well, the LGBTQIA plus and the Dykes on Bikes Lesbian Motorcycle Club might get pissed if I called those levees dikes. Anyway, for decades, people were padding their pockets with the government funds intended to maintain and upgrade the levee system in New Orleans and its surrounding communities. But instead, the money was spent on brand new Chevy Tahoes and Ford Explorers, Dodge Chargers, Chevy Impalas, Crown Victorias. They were spent on pickup trucks. They were spent on office buildings. Because if you have a police department, well, you need a police department radio operator and a receptionist. After all, you are a police department, right? You were given all of this authority to be a police department. All that money that should have been building levees, the rest of that money went to building tennis courts, some on the water side of the levee. And of course, we can't forget, 15, 16, 17 years ago, Louisiana was in the middle of a building boom. Oh no, not low. Once again, for those of you new to the Truth Hurts program, occasionally I do the program while driving the old F-250 up the road. And I do it on a cell phone using anchor.fm, part of the Spotify podcast group. And because it's done on the cell phone, when someone decides to call me, you hear that annoying ringing sound. And I do apologize for that. But I do try to catch it on the first ring so that you don't hear that annoying sound through the podcast. Anyway, the Katrinaversary is today. It's also the Idaversary. Hurricane Ida, 1 year ago today, August 29th, striking the New Orleans area. Now, why am I so hung up on this thought process that Katrina did not damage New Orleans like they lied to you and said it did? Because it didn't. The failure of the levees in New Orleans due to improper maintenance, diversion of millions of dollars in levee funds intended to fix, repair, maintain, upgrade, harden, strengthen, fortify, whatever term you want to use, was used to, as I said before the break, the interruption, build tennis courts and parks, playgrounds, but most importantly, a pandering nod to the casino industry, which was growing by leaps and bounds during that time 17 years ago. Everybody wanted a floating casino because Louisiana's gaming laws require that only one land-based casino could exist in the state of Louisiana. That was the big Harrah's Casino down in New Orleans near the French Quarter. So all of the other casino operators had to build these huge casino boats, multi-story barges. And at first, the law said, and those casino boats had to sail for so many minutes every hour. So you'd get on the boat, they'd pull up the anchor or untie the boat from the dock, and they'd sail around the lake or the pond or wherever the hell the casino was located. Excuse me, in some cases, the Mississippi River, some cases, Lake Pontchartrain. Then the captain would turn the boat around. Yes, you have to have a licensed captain because it's an ocean-going vessel. All the Coast Guard rules applied. So these casino companies had to hire deckhands and oilers and motormen and engineers and all of these jobs that have to be in existence upon an ocean-going or sea-going vessel, commercial vessel. They'd sail around in a little circle and then they'd come back to the dock. And if you wanted to get off, you could. If you wanted to stay on board at the dock and gamble some more, they sure like that. Eventually, that got old. Casino industry said, you know what? Maybe we'll pull up stakes and go somewhere else with our casino boats. So they coerced, tricked, in whatever the word is, threatened to leave the state, and they relaxed the sailing requirements. See, within those sailing requirements, yes, you have to sail so many minutes each hour. If inclement weather came, you know, two drops of rain on the windshield, the captain could declare under maritime law that it was unsafe conditions for sailing. Foggy, there was too much seaweed in the waterway. Oop, I don't feel safe operating the boat. So they'd get to not sail for that particular hour. Got to the point where the whole idea of the boat sailing in order for people to gamble was the joke that it was intended to be, and nobody sailed anymore, and everybody just gambled at the dockside. The New Orleans Levee Board, the Jefferson Parish Levee Boards, they all use that money for their police forces. You know, keep little boys from having sex with little girls behind the levees. Big need for an overweight, under-exercised police force. Then they said, well, we'll give our levee board authorities more authority. They don't just get to arrest people on the levee, but any road that runs near a levee. And they expanded and expanded their reach to the point of being ridiculous. You could get a ticket for speeding on a roadway 4 miles from a levee if that road ran towards the levee in one direction or away from the levee in another direction. Just another money grab. Of course, that took money away from the real police, the City of New Orleans Police Department, the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, so they had to rein in those policing authorities. But nonetheless, back to the topic at hand. Instead of using all of that money they wasted on police departments and radio systems and police cars, and the big joke of it was many of the police radio systems in the levee board police departments, they didn't connect on the same frequencies as the New Orleans Police Department or the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Department or even the Louisiana State Police. So if a levee board cop was in trouble, he had to make a phone call to his dispatcher, or he had to get on the phone, his radio, to the dispatcher, and they had to make a phone call to the other policing agencies for help. It was a joke. It still is, actually, a joke. So the levees were not properly maintained. They weren't kept up. They weren't upgraded. They weren't hardened, fortified, strengthened, what have you. And, you guessed it, they deteriorated. And when the storm surge of Katrina pushed towards New Orleans and massive amounts of rainfall, not hurricane force winds, boys and girls, just rainfall, when the rains came, well, the drainage system in New Orleans was overwhelmed. And the City of New Orleans, built inside of a bowl, a cereal bowl known as the levee system, filled up with water. The levees failed, like the old Led Zeppelin song. When the levee breaks, you have no place to stay. Oh well, oh well, oh well. Mean old levee taught me to weep and moan, the song says. The levees failed in New Orleans. The water then entered people's homes. People who decided, I'm not going to evacuate when there's a Category 5 hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico bearing down on the Mississippi-Louisiana Gulf Coast area. I's gonna stay home and have opportunity to loot all the white people houses. I'm gonna stay home and loot and steal and rob from grocery stores and tennis shoe stores and sporting goods stores and jewelry stores. So they did. They stayed home with the intention of looting. Then when the water started to rise, the majority of the people, by the way, who did not evacuate were the 13% hyphenated American minority. The majority in New Orleans, but the minority nationwide. They stayed. Many, not all, not even most, but many, with the intent of taking advantage of the people who did evacuate, who did have common sense, who did leave. The intent was, of course, to go and rob and pillage. When the water started to rise, just like rats abandoning a sinking ship, the 13% hyphenated American crowd decided, we're going to cross the Mississippi River at the Greater New Orleans Crescent City Connection Bridge, the one near the Superdome. Harry Lee, the Chinese-American cowboy sheriff of Jefferson Parish, and Arthur Lawson, the police chief of the city of Gretna, the first city adjacent to New Orleans on the west bank of the Mississippi River, put up barricades and said, nope, our parish, Jefferson Parish, our city of Gretna is closed. We are under an emergency evacuation, a mandatory evacuation. We're not letting anyone into our city. Many of the 13% hyphenated American minorities that were trying to escape New Orleans because their city was now filling up with sewage and water, well, they decided to bum rush the sheriff's department. Many of them snuck on by. And what was the first thing they did? They broke into the Oakwood Mall, a giant shopping mall. They began looting it. When the cops showed up, they set the mall on fire, just like animals. Just like animals. All right, sorry about that. Another little break, quick phone call, but I caught that one before you could hear it ring. That's called fast hands, buddy. Anyway, so the city fills up with water. The 13% hyphenated crowd decide they're going to finally leave because, well, they may not swim so well. They want to go over and loot the Oakwood Mall and then set it ablaze so that the cops don't catch them. They're too busy putting out a fire at a major retailer in the adjoining county parish, Jefferson Parish, the one next to New Orleans. That's the kind of animals they're dealing with. And I say animals with no intent to insult animals. I apologize to the animals if they are offended. But the 13% hyphenated American minorities who decided to stay in New Orleans during Katrina and then decide they want to bail out whilst looting, you know, shame on them, right? They were the criminals. They were the criminals. So anyone who tells you Katrina was devastating to New Orleans, they're full of crap. Katrina actually ended up doing billions of dollars worth of improvements to the city of New Orleans. That's right, improvements. Because many of the blighted neighborhoods and blighted houses were all torn down. That was it. Done. Eliminated. Demolished. And a lot of the, what they called, post-Katrina parasites, people who left New Orleans because of Hurricane Katrina, ended up in places like Houston, Atlanta, and the crime in those cities immediately skyrocketed, spiked unbelievable levels of crime increases in cities like Houston, Atlanta, etc. So much so that the then mayor of Houston, on the one year anniversary of Katrina, he actually published something saying to the mayor of New Orleans from the mayor of Houston, please take back your post-Katrina parasites. Actual front page headline in the Houston Chronicle, I believe was the name of the newspaper at that time. Please take back your post-Katrina parasites. My friends, that says it all. Those post-Katrina parasites went to places like Houston, Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis, Dallas, St. Louis, Louisville, Kentucky, Chicago, Illinois. And many of them claimed they could not afford to get back to New Orleans. And besides, they'd already established a new hub for their criminal lifestyles.
their burdens went from being on the New Orleans housing department to the housing departments of those other cities. They started sucking the welfare money from those other cities. I've said it before, I'll say it again. New Orleans has a crime problem. And when 90%, somewhere that close to that 90% of the criminals are of one particular group, let's say tomorrow that one particular group of people commit the vast majority of crimes. And let's say that particular group are overweight, lily white, redheaded ginger kids. White skin, red hair. And they're committing the vast majority of the crimes. Morning. I don't think that the media would have a problem at all calling out the ginger kids. I really don't. I think the media would be saying these Caucasian redheaded people are committing the vast majority of crimes in the New Orleans area, or the Atlanta area, or the Memphis area, or whatever. Whatever municipality you're talking about. The vast majority of crimes committed by overweight, redheaded ginger people. But since it's the delicate, frail followers of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we can't offend them. They vote Democrat, by golly. We're not allowed to call out the fact that in major Democratic-run 13% hyphenated American minority-populated cities, we are not allowed to say there's a black problem. That would be racist. Because not all blacks commit crimes. We know that. Not every black person out there is robbing, carjacking, raping, looting, stabbing, shooting. That kind of rhymes. Not everyone, but a very large percentage, a much larger percentage of the black population is committing those crimes. We do indeed have a black problem in the crime situation in major Democratic-run cities. And that black crime problem is exacerbated by the Democratic Party, who says, let's not prosecute them. The jails are already filled with that particular demographic group. The jails are already full, my friends. You look in any jail. You can't say it's, well, because they're only arresting black people. They're only arresting the people who are committing the majority of the crimes. And the statistics prove it. The national crime statistics prove it. One demographic group is committing the vast majority of the crimes. It wouldn't be so bad, I guess, if it were a 50-50 mix of the population of the United States of America. Follow this logic. If half of the country were black and the other half of the country were white, and the vast majority of the crimes were committed by the black community, then you would be able to say, gee, half of our country is committing more than half of the crime. That makes sense, right? But when it's 13% of the population, a very small minority percentage of the population that's committing most of the crimes, well, my friends, you have to point the finger at where it should be pointed. There's nothing racist about pointing out facts. It's like tomorrow saying white people have lighter skin than black people. That's a big old duh. We know that's a fact. It's not racist. It's stating a fact. But when you point out the bad, that the vast majority of the crimes are committed by one particular demographic, and that one particular demographic happens to be black, suddenly you're a racist for pointing out fact. You're somehow bigoted because you're pointing out statistics and data. Are we supposed to ignore the fact? Are we supposed to pretend that that problem doesn't exist? Are we supposed to pretend that there's not the vast majority of crimes, people getting caught committing crimes that are black? Or perhaps there are just as many white people committing crimes and they're just smart enough not to get caught.
Maybe that's the issue. Yes, that must be it. There aren't white people getting arrested for committing crimes because the white people are smart enough to not get caught. You see how ridiculous that sounds? This is the Truth Hurts program. There's a petition running around the city of New Orleans right now to recall Mayor LaToilette Cantrell. She is only the next New Orleans AA 13% hyphenated American mayor to continue the downward spiral of the city that Kerr forgot. She follows the imprisoned Sugar Ray Nagin, who took all that money from the federal government and gave it to his own African-American children, 14-year-old kids that he put into business selling granite countertops to all the city's housing projects and municipal buildings after Katrina. What a scandal that was. LaToilette Cantrell under fire for spending $18,000 for a first-class plane ticket to go to France to encourage tourism to the city of New Orleans. Who the hell wants to go to a crime-ridden cesspool like New Orleans? She took a nice vacation in first class. When questioned on television by news reporters, she refused to answer and then came back with a statement, some BS, claiming that it was for her safety and security. Yet her security detail was forced to sit in the back of the plane in coach. She is a lame duck mayor. She cannot run for re-election due to term limits. Thank God. And she is milking this for everything she can. She's under fire for recently sitting in a courtroom consoling the parents of a criminal thug animal juvenile black kid who carjacked not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different white women in a span of 2 days at gunpoint, then said it was a fake gun, so I should be let off. LaToilette Cantrell stood in the back of the courtroom, or sat in the back of the courtroom, with her arm around the shoulder of the mother of this little thug criminal, and kept eyeballing the judge, who felt very compelled, I believe, to give this kid a suspended sentence, probation, armed theft, and damage to five different vehicles, over $150,000 worth of reported damage, stolen laptops, cell phones, wallets, keys, etc. And the kid gets probation. Do you think that sends a clear message to the little thug? Of course not. He'll be out. He'll find a way to take his little ankle monitor off, which to them is a rite of passage, a sign of acceptance into the thug gang community. It's a badge of honor for them, like a trophy. And he'll go out and continue his criminal ways because he's still a juvenile. At 14 or 15 years old, he has at least 3 more years of free rein to do whatever the hell he wants illegally in the city of New Orleans and elsewhere. And then he'll begin his adult life of crime, like many of the 13% AA hyphenated Americans do. Especially in Democrat-run cities like the city of New Orleans, run by a criminal, a woman who has not paid her own income taxes for years, and yet they elected her mayor because of the color of her skin. A transplant from California, LaToilette Cantrell, a woman of many different wigs, has run the city even further into the ground than Ray Nagin did, than Marc Morial did, than Dutch Morial did, than Mitch Landrieu, a white guy who probably should have been a black guy. New Orleans has not been run by a conservative Republican in probably 100 years. I cannot remember a single one in my almost 60 years on this planet. The city is in rapid decline. Everything is sinking. Nothing is maintained. Nothing is repaired. There's only one Fortune 500 company in the entire state of Louisiana, and it's the utility company. And they're raking in billions of dollars by overcharging people for electricity. Oh well, it is what it is.
My friends, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Truth Hurts program, August 29th, 2022. Go out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you on the next program.
Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.